Hey, welcome back to Growtential. I'm Sarah, and I'm with my dad, Doc. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. Week of prayer. We had a great prayer session this morning.
6 a.m. I heard a mighty preacher say yesterday, if you want to be around the power of God, you got to go to the 6 a.m. prayer. So I got my tired little butt out of bed, crawled into my Jeep, and drove to church.
Well, was his prophecy true?
Time will tell. Time will tell.
Time will tell.
So today we are going to be talking about forgiveness, and we are coming off a relationship series. And I think as a pastor, you know, the beauty of relationships and the joy. And I heard a pastor once say that the most successful relationships have two of the most forgiving people in them, because relationship, can cause offense, sometimes big, sometimes little. And so coming off this series, I have been meeting and talking with so many people who are just interested in what forgiveness looks like in just a really honest way. And in your experience as a pastor, has forgiveness been something that is constantly talked about? Like, is it, as far as relationships go, when you counsel people, what does that kind of look like?
Well, I don't counsel people anymore because that didn't work so well.
What do you mean?
If you want to get a divorce, come to me for counseling. But this is what I have found. People fall into two categories. They are generally forgiving or they are generally unforgiving. It's rare to get somebody who's partially forgiving. It's generally... They've learned the forgiving spirit, or they haven't.
Yeah, I went out with some girlfriends last week, and it was a divided bunch. We were talking about a certain issue, and it was like, do you forgive or do you not? And two of us were like, yes, you forgive. Of course you forgive. And the other two were like, absolutely not. Not a chance. And so I can 100% see that as a reality in life. So... my inclination is that when you are deeply wounded, it's hard. And it is the emotion that drives you. It is the emotion that hurts you. It is the replaying and the rumination where a cow chews up the grass, eats it, chews on it, swallows it, vomits back up, chews on a little more, swallows it. And I feel like when you are hurt... that is what happens in your mind with the offense. Do you have any tools for that?
I think that, okay, every hurt has to be processed. But ruminating on it isn't processing it. It's telling yourself a painful story again and again and again and again. Mm-hmm. So you never really process it.
Yeah. And in fact, you're hurting yourself every time.
You hurt yourself more than the original person hurt you. So I think that forgiveness begins with having a model for forgiveness. Instead of me inventing a new forgiveness wheel, there are excellent models for forgiveness.
Yeah.
And there are excellent examples of people who were quick to forgive and people who couldn't forgive. Mm-hmm. There is a story in the Gospels that Jesus came to Capernaum, and there was a man there who was paralyzed. And Jesus came to him. And there was a group of people around, and some of them were religious leaders. Mm-hmm. And Jesus knew that that man didn't just need a physical healing, he needed a spiritual healing. Mm. And so the first thing Jesus said to him is, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. For the man, that was music in his ears. Mm-hmm. But for some religious leaders who were there, they instantly became annoyed.
Yeah.
They instantly reacted in a poor way. Because they thought Jesus had no business forgiving that man's sin.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said to them, why do you have that spirit within yourself?
Mm-hmm.
What's easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise, take up your bed and walk?
Mm-hmm.
Then Jesus said this important thing. You need to know that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins on earth. He was saying to us that he is a model for forgiveness.
Mm.
If you want to know what forgiveness looks like, he's the model.
Mm-hmm.
So we can look at a lot of examples in the New Testament where Jesus had every reason to hold a grudge, but he forgave them.
Mm-hmm.
And he forgave them freely. He didn't make them jump through hoops. He didn't make them go through a series of acts of penitence.
Shame.
The woman taken adultery. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin mm-hmm. no more.
I came not to condemn the world.
Yeah.
But to save. In your personal life, Dad, when you look on forgiveness, growing up in the house, you were quick to forgive. You never really held grudges. I think working in the church world, people would be shocked to know how ugly people can actually be, and how hurtful this job actually is.
Can be.
Yeah, giving your life away to people's not always easy. But in your life, when it comes to forgiveness, you would say that you fall on the side of a forgiver?
Yes.
Have you always been that way, like as a child?
I've always, as long as I can remember, I've known I needed forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you are aware that you need forgiveness, it's just easier to be forgiving.
Yeah.
It's when you don't have a sense that you need to be forgiving, we become self-righteous.
Yeah, it is a self-awareness thing because I think, what do you think of this? Because I'm curious. It doesn't seem that all sins are equal. Like, murder feels a whole lot different than lying. And then maybe you are in a marriage or a relationship where you're cheated on versus the other person maybe getting angry sometimes. Like, there feels like one sin is worse than the other. And so it does, that's where I think the self-righteous can come in of, my sin is not that. I would never do that. Disregarding, but you would do this. What's your take on that?
So all of us think that, we tend to think, my sins are the little ones. Your sins are the big ones.
Yeah.
We have a tendency to think what I did wasn't as hurtful as what you did.
Right. You like the grace.
Right.
Yeah.
We give ourselves leeway that we don't want to give to other people.
Mm-hmm. And in reality, we're all falling short of God. Right?
We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory mm-hmm. of the Lord. And when it comes to sins, I can't set myself up as a judge of what sins are worse than others.
Mm-hmm.
I believe to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all break that one.
Yeah.
Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That's the first one. And we all break that one.
Yeah.
So it isn't a question of, are my sins worse than others? It's really a question of, am I aware that I need forgiveness?
Mm-hmm.
And that God connects my willingness to forgive others with my experience of receiving forgiveness.
Yeah. The Lord's Prayer is at right. the...
And the verse right after the Lord's Prayer, where he says, if you don't forgive others their sins, you won't be forgiven of your sins.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really, really
difficult passage. Okay, so that seems easy. That seems easy for someone cut me off, right? That seems easy to forgive. But what happens when you're deeply wounded? I mean, if it's in relationships, I've known people that the people that were supposed to protect them and keep them safe are the ones that hurt them the most. And they have never apologized, nor will they ever. I've known, I was listening to a pastor today. His sister was sexually abused from the time she was a young child by a family friend. And so some forgiveness seems no problem. But then there is some forgiveness that really does take a quality of soul and character that we cannot find on our own. So two questions then. One, is there a difference between forgiving someone and processing? And then two, what do you do on the deep offenses? Like, how do you really start to forgive?
So there is a difference between forgiveness and processing hurt. But there's also a difference between forgiveness and acting like business as usual.
Mm-hmm.
The wise man sees trouble and hides himself. I can forgive someone and create new healthy boundaries in my life.
Okay, I'm going to pause right there because this is a question that came up during the relationship series. Someone had an alcoholic family member that has just been causing mayhem in the family, and one spouse is willing to forgive when the other one is saying, I can't keep doing this. So what would a healthy boundary look like in that sense without knowing all the details?
I want to think of the scripture that says, well, now it slipped out of my mind. So first of all, shall we start with processing?
Sure.
All right. Maybe in the pain of the moment, someone says, I can't forgive this.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe if they learn some processing skills, it reorients them. And you start to see that I benefit more from forgiveness than the person I forgive.
Yeah, and I feel like sometimes you think that's cliche because that's what you hear. But I think it's only cliche because it's true.
It is true.
That forgiveness is not for them. It doesn't mean that they are getting away with something. It doesn't mean you get to be a doormat. It doesn't mean that they are even deserving of it. But it does mean that you, as long as you live in that prison of replaying, of maybe even seeking something that will never come in the form of an apology, your life is locked in a way that is not healthy.
Yes.
And freedom comes through forgiveness, not for them, but for you.
Exactly. So I remember the scripture. Paul is very specific about telling us people we shouldn't associate with.
Mm.
Paul is very specific. He says things like, if a person is always creating division, they're always creating little factions and setting people against each other, you need to avoid that person.
In Jesus' name. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So Paul, we're not making this up as we go. Paul tells us some people who should be avoided.
So a healthy boundary is maybe you see them less, or maybe you don't see them, or the relationship does look a little bit different. And I always say a boundary is put into place not as a punishment, because I think sometimes we can get it wrong and use it as a punishment. But a boundary is set up for you and your protection.
Exactly.
Sorry.
You build a fence. If your neighbor throws their garbage in your yard all the time, mm-hmm. you build a fence.
Yeah.
To keep the garbage out of your yard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the same thing is true emotionally. I can't be constantly having the garbage thrown in my yard mm-hmm. and be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So it is perfectly acceptable with God that we create boundaries. All right. How we create these boundaries is huge.
Mm-hmm.
We can't have angry boundaries.
Yeah.
Anger is not a good fence.
Mm-hmm.
We can't have resentful boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
We can't have boundaries that are manipulative. When you do this, I will do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a healthy boundary. A healthy boundary is, no matter what you do, this is the way I'm going to live. And this is what I'm going to do to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. And I think that's hugely beneficial for people because I don't think anyone teaches you how to do that. And so you're either stuck in a loop of abuse or a loop of unforgiveness or resentment or bitterness or whatever it might be, when really to live your life in the healthy way that God has called you to do, sometimes that is your very best option.
Exactly.
So you defined forgiveness. I think it's important to define it here. What is forgiveness?
Forgiveness means to release.
Yeah.
When I'm unforgiving, I hold the right to be angry.
Mm-hmm.
I hold the right to make you pay. I hold the right to remind you of how much you've hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
When I forgive, I release that right.
Yeah.
It sounds something like this. I release the right to be angry with this person anymore. So if I feel anger toward this person about this issue, then I say one more time to God, I have released that. Please help me to let this go.
Okay, so with this definition, let's go back to the process idea. So we were talking earlier, forgiveness is not an emotion.
No.
In fact, it's counterintuitive to the true emotions, right?
Right.
I have forgiven when I did not want to forgive. So when you are choosing forgiveness, you are choosing to release. And then you might do that before you fully processed the hurt, because some things are harder than others. It might take you instantly to forgive something, or it might take you some time because you really have to process the pain. So what is a first step in that processing, in your opinion?
I think we have to start with the source of all forgiveness, and I have to take it to God.
Yeah.
This is our week of prayer, and I think I want to pray more this week than I usually pray. So I want to start the process by taking it to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk to him about it. I want to say, this is what I think happened. This is the way it made me feel. I have this sense of injustice. I have this sense of being taken advantage of. I want to do the spiritual talking care. I want to cast my care on him.
Mm. Right. You said that in your sermon yesterday. Your sermon was on prayer. And if you haven't listened to it, I highly recommend going back to our Christchurch, Ohio YouTube page. Do we have a title for that sermon?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Check it out. I don't know the date, but this is going to come out in April. This is March 23rd, the sermon came out, Thankfulness. And in it, you said there is a talking cure where just getting it out can make a difference. Can you speak into that just for a second if they didn't hear the sermon?
Some prayer is not me making requests to God. Some prayer is me talking to God about my life in the same way I would talk to a very trusted friend,
mm-hmm.
you know. Or a prayer is like, sometimes Sharon just wants to talk to me. She doesn't want me to fix anything or be her problem solver. All right. Sometimes prayer is the simple act of talking to God about my life. Good experiences and bad experiences. Mm-hmm. Something very, very healthy happens when I have such a deep confidence in God. I feel better when I talk to him about my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had people that I tried my best to help, and then they left the church and they said all kinds of ugly things about me. Okay. The first impulse is to go complain to somebody about that.
Yeah.
But that's usually not the first best thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
The first best thing to do is to share it with God, to cast all your cares upon him, mm-hmm. and let him care for you.
Yeah.
When I cast my care on him, when I talk to him about my life, the Holy Spirit immediately starts a healing process. Mm-hmm. It's just what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe I only get healed a little bit, but I am healed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I talk to him about it another time, and the Holy Spirit does his healing work, and my soul moves into a different space where I'm a little bit more like Christ and more apt to forgive.
Yeah, it is. We did a podcast, I think, about attuning, like the antenna idea of when you just want to be in the presence of God. And when you seek him in this kind of way, there is something that softens and shifts and begins to, like, he does rub off on you.
Yes, he does.
I struggled really hard with a thing several years ago with a friend, and I remember going and talking to God and saying, I'm not leaving until you speak to me. Not in a jerky kind of way, but like in a desperate
Jacob kind of way.
Yeah.
I won't let you go until
you
bless me.
Yeah, the wrestling with God, yeah. I just desperate to hear him, desperate to hear something of who he is, because I knew he could align my heart. And so I think you're 1,000,000% spot on. The process begins with him, not with a friend or a spouse. It has to start with him. We're filming at my house and it's very windy. And when they built our home, there's something odd with the microwave. And so there's a vent that goes outside, and I'm not sure if you can hear it, but if you hear popping or that, it is.
But we have a forgiving spirit today.
Yeah. Let it go. Let it go. Okay.
I've found in my own prayer life that I've gone to God to complain about stuff, and he's changed my perspective and said to me, you're the one who needs to apologize.
Yeah. Ugh, shoot.
So I've gone to God with an angry spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He's caused me to see everything in a different way. And then I end the prayer saying, all right, I will apologize.
Yeah. I'm listening to this story from T.D. Jakes. It's a book on forgiveness. I forget what it's called. But he talks about the very first time he was asked to do a large speaking gig. It was going to be seen by millions of people, and his church was about 100 people a week and 200 on Easter. And they were trying their hardest to get into a building, and they thought by selling some of the promotional goods at this event, it would give them the down payment they needed for this building. So he went to go do this speaking engagement, but a week before, a contract came in that basically said they're going to take 25% off the top for I think he was making CDs or something. It was the exact amount that they needed, that they were going to be taking off the top. So all in, they were going to make nothing. And he had put all his hopes in, and he got so mad. In fact, he got so mad that after the speaking engagement happened, he talked to, I don't know, the producer or whoever it was, and harshly scolded him. He said the teddy bear left and the grizzly bear showed up. But through the talk, the producer said, you touched my life so much that I wanted to help. I wanted to figure out how we can get you on TV and how we could get it so more people can hear you. And it turned out that the vendor of whatever place charged the 25%. And so he said it was like such a moment of awareness that even in hurt or an expectation that's not met, that God will still find ways to work.
Beautiful.
And it changed the trajectory of T.D. Jakes' career. But I think, so processing with God, then what?
Well, sometimes processing requires, if you want to have a restoration, mm-hmm. if you want forgiveness to lead to restoration, then the processing moves to you talking to that person.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus taught us Matthew 18:15.
Mm-hmm.
If your brother offends you, you go and talk to that brother.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but we all tend to be junior high kids, and we tell 55 people, and we don't talk to the person we need to talk to.
Yeah.
So that's not processing.
Mm-hmm.
So if I talk to God and I have a sense that he's worked in my heart, now maybe the next step is I go to that person and I say, we had this experience, and it went like this, and... that's not the kind of relationship I want to have with you.
Mm-hmm.
You speak to that person from a healthy heart, and you see if you can resolve. Because if you can resolve, then forgiveness is really, really easy.
Yeah.
And
the most beauty can come on the other side of the hardest journey.
Right.
You know, like the most beautiful relationship that you never expected could happen. If you walk through it,
right,
walk through the pain, you know.
No, it's true. You're not always going to be able to process with that person.
And that's what my next question was going to be. What about for the people that either it's not healthy to, or they're not open to it, or they've tried and it's not gone well?
Well, we learned from Gutman about making bids in our marriage. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it's in the 7 principles of making a marriage work or something.
So
John Gottman.
Before I decide, I want to try to make some bids.
Mm-hmm.
A bid is something like you initiate in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I can't initiate and say, hey, I would like to talk to you about this bad experience we had.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe my bid is much smaller than that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's something like, I've been thinking about our relationship. Or I've been thinking about our lack of relationship. Or I've been thinking about an unpleasant experience we had. And then you drop it there. You mm-hmm. don't ask them for anything. You don't commit anything. But you've made a bid.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
And they can respond to that bid.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they respond tells you you have a next step or you don't have a next step. Mm-hmm. So if they respond and they're still angry and resentful, well, then...
Or not taking ownership, right, or whatever it might be. Yeah.
Okay. I want to get to the point where the hardest, all right, you're not going to reconcile. The person doesn't take ownership for it. They don't feel like they've done anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There still has to be a cutoff day.
Mm-hmm. A releasing.
You cannot carry it with you month after month. I've known people who have unforgiveness for things that happened 40, 50 years ago.
Sure.
There has to be a cutoff date.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the law, there are statutes of limitation. we got to have a cutoff date where we say, beyond this point, I'm letting go.
Mm-hmm.
I am releasing. God did not create me to live in the bondage of unforgiveness. It is for freedom that Christ has set me free.
Mm-hmm.
And I am releasing this so I can be free myself.
Mm-hmm. So Jacob recently listened to a podcast. I haven't been able to listen to the whole thing, but it was an interesting idea that I'd love your take. This podcast is going to go a little bit longer just because I think it needs it. So do with that what you may, people. But in the podcast, the guy said at the end of the day that the talking therapy is good to a degree, but what happens is until you don't feel the pain anymore, you can't really truly move on. And because we feel the pain and feel the pain and feel the pain, we live in that painful existence. So he has some ways to stop, like to process the feeling of the emotion, because that's really where you move on. I mean, think about the hurtful things. You're able to talk about them now because they don't feel so strong. And so he talks about meditation and some other stuff that I have no idea. I haven't listened to it. But what's your take on when you really feel it to the core of your being? When you really, every time it's brought up, it's a weight on your chest or it's a knot in your stomach. Do you have experience in that?
Not much. Because that it doesn't affect me that way. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like viscerally, it doesn't affect you?
I can be angry for a little bit. But usually when the anger passes, I want to move on.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's his point. I think the point is when you stop feeling the emotion. So for most men, I think it's just anger. It's like that's the emotion is anger. And maybe for women too. But I think for me, I feel all the emotions. You know, I tear up and cry a lot, feel that weight of sadness.
I've also learned that I can replace thoughts.
Okay, this is where I wanted to head. When at the end of the day, you might never get what you actually need.
Yeah.
And so, one, you go to Christ. You let it all bear with him because he cares for you in a kind of way that no one and nothing else will do. You process and you think and you talk about it. And then this is where I want to go. How do we...
So I believe there are some wounds that never heal. But I don't believe that means you can't forgive.
Or you have to live in it.
Or you have to live in it. I believe I can replace thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And it became a discipline in my life some years ago. I refuse to let myself think in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I will say right out loud, stop. Or sometimes when I'm in a wrong thought pattern, I'll say start over.
Mm.
All right. To replace thoughts, you have to pre-plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I have some thought patterns that I don't like. They aren't good for me. I don't treat people well around me when I permit myself to think that mm-hmm. way. So I have developed start over thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
When I think this, I'm going to interrupt it and I'm going to start over and I'm going to think about this.
Mm-hmm. So give us a cue for unforgiveness.
All right. So if I have an if every time I remember this, I feel resentment and I feel anger and I say, I wish I would have said this, or I wish I'd have done that. Or I'm praying for God to get even with them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If that thought.
Or disappointment.
Right.
Yeah.
If that thought arises, I have to recognize it and I have to replace it with another thought. And perhaps the other thought is, I have the desire for other people to release me. What can I do in this moment right now to release this?
Mm-hmm.
Or I have some stories about the life of Christ. And when I'm thinking in an unhealthy way, I'll say stop. And then I'll just tell myself that story from the gospel
mm-hmm.
because it's resetting my brain.
So you are good. You have, I think, shaped in me a challenger in the kind of way where if there needs to be a champion in the story, I'm going to be the champion. You know, you are good at calling out what's best. And so I want to do that for our audience. I want to call out what is best in them because Craig Rochelle, he said, it's forgiveness shouldn't just flow to you from God, but it should flow from you.
Absolutely.
And we aren't here just to live an ordinary life.
No,
we aren't
not.
Here to just live status quo. We are here called by the Lord God Almighty. And in it, I believe it is a higher calling. Yes. And I think if you're listening to this episode, it's for a reason. We pray that we can reach you. We pray before we do each podcast. And I believe that if you are here listening to this, we've got a challenge for you today. What's the challenge? No pressure.
Well, the challenge is to become a forgiving person.
Let's go.
Let God work in your heart. He recreates us in the image of Christ. He makes all things new. He renews us in the spirit of our mind. He's made all kinds of commitments to us. And we can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to make one giant step, but you got to start today, and you got to start working on being a forgiving person.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think what we'll do then is, because you are mighty, courageous followers of Jesus Christ, listening to this podcast, and you are going to be taking steps for forgiveness, our next podcast will be on the cost of forgiveness, because it does cost something, doesn't
it? Yes, it does.
And so if you are listening, I'm going to say a prayer for you. And then our heartbeat is that you find just the tools within this conversation. If you need to listen to it again, sometimes I'll go back and listen to your sermons two or three times because I hear something fresh that I didn't hear the first time. And so sometimes in these conversations, you just need to go back and re-listen and look for one thing that you can step out in courage and try, or a way of thinking that might be beneficial for you. So let me pray for him real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, you are the giver of life. You are the God that heals and binds and restores. And I pray for deep restoration to every human being listening today. Father, I pray where hurt has been so deep that it has been a lifetime of replaying and rethinking, that you will bring a freedom and a release from the bondage of just holding on, that you will help them find a faith and a trust in you and a new way to let go, to forgive, and to be freed from the chains that unforgiveness has locked them in. I pray for those of us who have a forgiving nature, can you help us up our game and to love in deeper and better ways? Can you help us to let it flow freely, Father, because you loved us first, and that we are even able to love, it is all because of who you are. I thank you for your amazing goodness, and I pray it for every listener. Will you bless them? By showing them who you are, by showing them your steadfast love, your forgiving nature, and will you guide us into all truth? In your Son's mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we pray this has been helpful. If you know someone who is struggling with forgiveness, send this their way. If you liked it, give us a like on wherever you're listening, and we pray that God will do something in and through you to glorify him and make this world a better place. I love you, my dad.
I love you, girl.
I'll see you next time.